The Bible is so practical in nature. It gives us all of these principles to follow. There are all of these principles for our life, very specific principles. And if we follow these principles, your life is going to be better. I don't know how else to explain it. It's just simply better. And so what we've been doing through this series is we've been taking specific passages that have the word better in it, and then how we can apply those principles to our life. And so that's what we're doing today, is we're going to continue on this series, and we're going to see what better choices that we can make this year. And before we get into that, I want to be able to tell a quick story as we get into this message. That how many of you guys know, anybody familiar with Southern Missouri at all? Well, there's a lot of caves in Southern Missouri. There's a lot of like limestone, and there's caves all over the place. And that's where I went to college, was in Southern Missouri. And I have a little bit of an adventurous spirit within me, right? And so, man, you see all these caves, and there's like, I don't know what it is, but man, there's just a dark hole, and there's like, oh, I want to go inside that dark hole, you know? And let's find out what's going on inside of there. And so I had this adventurous spirit, and a couple of my other buddies, they were like, hey, man, let's go caving. We're going to go into all these caves and see what's going on. And so we did that on a regular basis, and one day we decided that, man, we were just out driving around. And it's a cave that we had seen numerous times. And so we were driving by, and one day we just said, hey, let's go inside that cave. And so we just get all of our gear together, and we were caving so much that I had caving clothes in my trunk, you know? And I had like the little flashlight thing, you know, on there. And so we go inside this cave, and typically in a cave, it might start with a little small opening, and you go in, and it becomes a large cavern, right? And in this cave, it decided that it wanted to get smaller and smaller as we were going in. And so I'm going in this cave, and I get to this spot where I have a choice to go either below this certain rock, underneath the water, or I can go over it. Well, I decide I'm going over it. That's what I want to do, you know? So I'm crawling, like I'm doing the army crawl, you know? I'm down on my belly getting through this thing. It's getting small. And I go over this little rock, and I get through it, and I got a little bit of wiggle room. And then I got my other friend behind me, and he decides he's going to go underneath. And so he goes underneath through the water, and he gets through there, and he comes out the other side, and he's got a little bit of wiggle room as well. And then my last buddy, so there were three of us, my last buddy, he decides that he's going to try to go over. And so he starts going over, and then he backs up. And he's like, I'm going to try to go under this time. So he gets underneath, and he begins to go under. And then all of a sudden, we're watching him do this, you know, we're trying to like kind of turn, and all of a sudden, his eyes get really big. And this is what he looks like right here. That's what he looks like right there. That boy got Winnie the Pooh. He was stuck as stuck could be. I mean, he was in trouble. And he's like, guys, I'm stuck. I cannot get through here. And we're like, well, back up. He's like, I cannot back up. Well, what are we going to do? Like, we got to get it. So this is all of a sudden what me and my other buddy look like. This is what we're looking like inside that cave. We're inside this cave trying to get this guy through. And, man, we're pulling and yanking and yanking. And finally we get him through onto the other side of this cave. And, man, it was such a scary moment. But then the scarier part of it was we have to get back out of here. We got to get back out. Well, luckily, we got to a spot where we could turn around, and we got through, and we got back out of there. But it was a scary moment for us because, man, if we would have been in there, if he would have been in there by himself, he would have had some serious trouble going on. So here's what my encouragement for you today is. Don't ever get Winnie the Pooh all by yourself. And that brings us to our big takeaway for the day, and our big takeaway is this. We are better together than we are alone. We are better together than we are alone. Say that with me. We are better together than we are all alone. How many of you guys know that probably the biggest trouble that you ever got into was with your friends, right? Isn't that kind of true? Like, man, the stuff that we wouldn't normally do by ourselves, our friends talk us into it, right? But then how many of you guys also know this? That those really good friends, they're the ones that help get you out of trouble as well. The ones that help get you into trouble, they're with you and they stick with you and they help get you out of trouble. Man, we are better together than we are alone. Ecclesiastes 4:9, and here's our memory verse for this week, guys. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Two are better than one. I love how practical and how straightforward and direct the Bible is. Two are better than one. So say this with me, this entire thing. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. All right, say it again. Remember, this is a memory verse. We're trying to put this to memory. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Two are better than one. It's so true. It's so big. You know, and the reality is that this principle started at the beginning of time. This principle started with the creation of the earth, with the creation of Adam and Eve. That God created Adam to kind of look over the garden, to manage it, and to make sure that everything was going smoothly. And then all of a sudden he looked and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so he took a moment where he put Adam into a deep sleep, took a rib from his side, which is so weird that we actually, as men, we have one less rib on the one side. Isn't that weird? You don't know it's true. Count them out. It's weird. That's just the truth. We still today, we have one less rib on the one side because God took that rib from Adam, put him under a deep sleep, woke up, he had created Eve, and Adam looks and he says, whoa, man, he is excited. And that's how your name is woman, all right? That's how it happened. That's how it went down. At least in my mind, that's how it went down. Two are better than one. We are better together than we are alone. And so here's what Solomon is the one who's making this statement in Ecclesiastes 4:9. Solomon is making this statement, and he's making these observations about the world and the reality that two are better than one. And so why does Solomon make this statement? Well, just the verse right before our memory verse, he's looking at the world and he's making an observation, and we see what he says in Ecclesiastes 4:8. And he says this, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless. A miserable business. A miserable business. Being alone is not fun. Being alone is a miserable business. God created us to be together. We are better together than we are alone. Now, as I was studying for this message, I saw this article about a very successful CEO. In fact, he was just voted the CEO of the year by CNN. And so this is a very successful businessman, right? I mean, he is at the top of his game. But the reality is that he doesn't have a family. He's all alone. He has nothing. And so he said this is what I'm going to do with all of my wealth. I'm going to pay for my nephew's college tuition, and then the rest of it I'm going to give to charity. And that's great. You know, that's nice that he can do that. It makes you feel good about yourself. But really, man, that made me so sad. It made me so sad to just be able to hear somebody talk about how they're just going to just work and work and work and chasing after the wind and chasing after the wind. And at the very end, they just have nothing and they just give it away. But there's nothing left to give it to toil for, to go after. And it just made me sad. And in the same day, a friend of mine, he posted a video about a hip-hop mogul. And this hip-hop mogul was talking about the power of ownership. And the reason why he was working so hard and why he was just going after it, man, and hustle. And the reason why he was doing that is because he said this, is because I want to give my son something. I want to pass down everything that I'm doing to my son and allow him to be able to live his life. And not have to worry about what he's doing. Then he wants to be able to build something for his son, and then his son can pass on to his son, and there's this continuation of what's happening. Because the reality is that we are better together than we are alone. We're better together than we are alone. And it's a horrible business. It's a horrible business to be all by ourselves. Two are better than one. We are better together than we are alone. How many of you guys have ever made... How many of you guys have ever made a New Year's resolution? Ever in your entire life? Come on, man. I know you've done at least one. You're like, I don't care. I'm just not raising my hand. I don't want to play around right now. Man, we've made New Year's resolutions. Now, here's the other question. How many of you have ever failed at that New Year's resolution? You guys are liars who are not raising your hand. That's all there is to it. Yeah, now the hands go up. My bad, I did fail. Yeah, man, we do. It's hard because we make these New Year's resolutions, you know, like, I want to be able to lose weight, I want to be able to read more books, I want to do this, do that, all that kind of stuff, and then it doesn't happen, does it? Maybe for like the first couple of weeks. Those of you that go to the gym or fitness center, whatever it is, man, January and February are slammed, and now there's like nobody there. That's just kind of how it goes, right? Is that we can't do this stuff. Well, I've made some New Year's resolutions in my life, and I continue to do so, and one year I made a New Year's resolution with a friend of mine. And this buddy of mine, we rode bikes all the time, cycles. We were into cycling, bicycles, you know. I believe in pedal power, not horsepower. And so, man, we were riding bikes on a regular basis, and we just decided one year, we were like, you know what? We just want to become much stronger riders. We want to ride like we've never rode before, and so we made a decision that we were going to ride at least 3 times a week. Now, we started off, we were riding mountain bikes, going like on 12-mile rides, and we would get up early, and pretty soon those 12-mile rides turned into like 30-mile rides, and then they turned into 60-mile rides, and then one day I decided, you know what, I'm gonna do my very first century ride, which is a 100-mile ride. I'm going to do my very first 100-mile ride, and I decided to go on that ride, and I did it in under 5 hours. Which means I was averaging 20 miles an hour, and it was one of the greatest feats I've ever done in my life. I'm still patting myself on the back about that one. But that was a long time ago. That was pre-kids and about 30 pounds lighter than that. I could not do that now. I might die if I tried to do that now. But man, I tell you what, I never would have got there if it wasn't for my friend. Because we decided that we were going to ride our bikes early in the morning. And there were so many mornings that when that alarm went off, I just thought the last thing on earth I want to do is get out of this warm bed and go ride my bike in freezing cold temperature and freeze my toes off. I did not want to do it. But here's the thing. I knew that my buddy was waiting in his garage outside on his bike waiting for me. I knew it. And I had to get up and go because I didn't want to let him down. I didn't want to let him down and think, oh, you know, Darren's just wussing out. That's what he does all the time. I just said, you know what? He's going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, those mornings that were really tough for me, we get over there and he's outside of his garage and we're ready and we're going on our bike ride and we're just thinking, I'm thinking this is miserable and horrible and I would much rather be in bed. He would say to me, this is miserable and horrible and I'd much rather be in bed. And I'm like, well, why didn't you text me or something? You know, we both could have been in bed and both been very, very comfortable right now. But by the end of the ride, man, we were so glad that we went. We were so happy that we went on that ride. And I'll tell you, I never would have got there if it wasn't for him. I never would have done it on my own. We are better together than we are alone. Two are better than one. You guys see where we're going with this? It's so amazing how God just brings people together. He has made us for relationship. He has designed us to be in relationship with other people around us because two are better than one. We are better together than we are alone. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to break down Ecclesiastes 4 and we're going to see how we are better together than we are all by ourselves. And so we're going to look at Ecclesiastes 4 starting with verse 9. And so if you have your Bibles, go there, turn to that, and we're going to be able to look and break this thing down. And so the first principle that we can see in Ecclesiastes is this. The very first principle is this. Is friends help us become more productive. Friends help us become more productive. And it says it right here in Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. There's a good return for their labor. They help us become more productive than what we are all by ourselves. Relationships grow out of shared work. Relationships grow out of shared work. And you work harder for those that you care about, don't you? You work so much harder for those that you care about. It doesn't matter if it's yard work, if it's a business. It doesn't matter if it's coming to church and serving together or going on a missions trip. But man, those relationships are born when you work together. And you work so much harder when you actually care about the people that you're around. We're more productive. When two come together, we're more productive. There is strength in numbers, isn't there? We're more productive. Man, I tell you what. I've said this so many times before, but it is so true, that Sunday morning and this hour that we have together, this is awesome. I mean, I do. I love coming to church. Sunday is my favorite day of the week. I love coming to church. I love being in this atmosphere where we get to sing worship songs and we get to raise our hand and not be ashamed of Jesus at all. And this is incredible. This hour is incredible. But let me tell you this. It is such a small portion of my Sunday morning. It's a small portion of so many people in here of their Sunday morning. This hour right here, this is just kind of a culmination. Man, when our dream team gets here between 7 and 7:30 to start setting stuff up, start making this place feel more like a church and putting chairs up, putting banners up all over the place, setting up the stage and all this musical equipment, guess what? This is not here during the week. This is a church, or this is a school, right? Now it feels like a church, but this is a school during the week. And man, they come together and they're here getting stuff together. And I gotta tell you, we have so much fun. It really is. Everybody is smiling. Everybody's having a great time. And now some of them might not be having that great of a time at 7:30. I'll tell you that. But at least they're smiling. And it's grin and bear it time. You know, I'm going to wear this smile until I really mean it. Where's the coffee at? You know? But everybody's still smiling. We're having a great time together because we're more productive together. And it's such a great atmosphere. And I got to tell you, seriously, this is such a small part of Sunday morning. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, man, if you come to church, that's awesome. It's fantastic that you're here, but you're missing out. You're missing out on what Sunday morning really could be about. You're missing out on what church could really be. And I got to tell you, it's not because I want something from you. It's not because they're like, oh, man, we need people in the nursery. That's not it at all. I don't want something from you. I want something for you. I understand what the relationships and how those relationships are built when you come in and you serve with people and you're just working and you're setting up chairs and doing all that kind of stuff that doesn't seem like much, but you're building relationships with people because we are better together than we are alone. Why do we talk about serving on the dream team? Man, because I just know what it's going to do for your life. I know what it's going to do and how you're going to build relationships. And it's so important. And I want to tell you, man, we have just on April 12th, the Sunday after Easter, we got a thing called Growth Track. And if you're not part of our church, or if you've just been new or newer to our church and you're not serving, man, you need to go to Growth Track. It happens right after church. As soon as we're done, man, we just meet down there in the move zone and we've got snacks for you and all that kind of stuff. And you just need to go through Growth Track. And it's just 4 weeks long. Four classes, that's all it is. And you just find out more about our church and then find a place where you can serve. Because, man, you're going to build relationships. And we are better together than we are alone. I want to encourage you, man, sign up for that. And you can go on the website and there's a little spot that says get involved and click on get involved and sign up to go to Growth Track. Because, man, it's going to do so much for your life. It's not because we want something from you. It's because we want something for you and to build that relationship with other people. Build that relationship with Christ. Man, I want to encourage you to be able to do that. We are more productive together than we are all by ourselves. The second thing that we're going to find is this, is that friends help when there is need. Friends help when there is a need. Man, we find out who our true friends are when the going gets tough, don't we? When things get tough, we find out who really does care about us. Ecclesiastes 4:11, Samuel says this. He says, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Man, friends help us when we're in need. I got to tell you, we moved to Arizona just about 2 years ago, and I love Arizona. It is amazing. It is fantastic, and I just love it. But there's also this little thing that I have a love-hate relationship with, and it's not the heat. That's not what it is, even though it's starting to come, right? I got some eyes rolling already on that one. It's coming. We know that it is. But here's the thing that gets me about Arizona is that there's such a sense of independence that we have, isn't there? There really is. Like, don't tell me what to do. And man, we live in a country that is full of independence. In fact, we have a declaration of independence, right? We want independence so much that we declare it to the entire world. We're going to declare independence. And I don't think anybody more than Arizona. Don't tell us what kind of driver's license we have to have. We're going to make our own, right? Anybody seen those new ones? And then the rest of the U.S. is like, no, that's not real. No, it's real. Don't tell us what to do. Man, we have such a sense of independence, don't we? My son, my 3-year-old son, he really is independent too. And he says this all the time. When we're, like, if he's thirsty and wants to go get something to drink or climb a ladder, this is what he says all the time. I got this. Like, I'm trying to help him. He's like, I got this. You know, and he gets mad at me trying to help him. But then what happens? He's trying to get some water, and it spills all over the place. I got this. No, yeah, you just like, come on, man. Or then he's climbing up a ladder, you know, and I see him climbing, and of course I'm going to try to, you know, be there to catch him when he falls. And when those spills and those slips happen, man, he is so thankful that I'm right there. Well, let me tell you something. The example that I use right there is this. I used my three-year-old for a purpose, because when you're so independent that you're not trying to find any help from anybody, you sound exactly like a three-year-old. That's reality. You sound like a three-year-old who thinks, no, I can do this all by myself, when the reality is this, you can't. Nothing in life you can do all by yourself, because you are so much better together than you are alone. And there's no reason for you to have to try to be so independent. God has created us to be in relationship. Don't throw those relationships away. There's a reason why he created us this way. Go after those relationships. Because I'm going to tell you something. Spills are going to happen in your life. Slips are going to happen in your life. And it's so great to have people who care about you around you, isn't it? It's so important for you to be around people who care about you. Why do we talk about community groups at our church? Is it because I want to be able to say, hey, look how many community groups we have? I could care less. I could care less about a number in there, except for this. I care about a number because then it means that you're getting involved in a community, and it means that you're building relationships with people. And you're building relationships with people because there's going to be a spill that's going to happen in your life. And there's going to be a slip that happens in your life. And it's so important for those moments to have people who care about you come and bring you help. I got to tell you, it's one of my favorite things as a pastor to hear about somebody who's in the hospital, and I go and visit them, and I'm the last one to show up. And I come into a room, and there's a bunch of people from our church in a community group that are already there ministering to the people, who are praying for them, who are bringing them meals and doing all that kind of stuff, because it's like, man, these people really care. They're bringing help. They're bringing help. They're true friends. We are better together than we are alone. Why do we talk about community groups? Why do we show them every single week? Why? Because we just want to talk out of our mouth, all that kind of stuff? No. It's because we know the power of the relationship. We know how so much important it is for you not to try to go through life all by yourself. And when those spills happen and those slips happen, which they will, that you have people around you that can help pick you up and help clean up that spill when it's so hard and so nasty. That's why we talk about these things. We are better together than we are alone. We are better together than we are alone. Man, it's so important. Friends. Friends bring us help. Man, Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Oh, man, a friend loves at all times. And a brother is there not just when everything is going well, but the time when everything is going really difficult. That's why, man, we are so much better than we are alone. We need to be able to build those relationships. Get involved in a community group. I'm telling you, get involved in a community group. Guys, for the men in here, I'm telling you, you've got to get inside of a group. You've got to be able to build a relationship with other men, because here's what we do. This is so often what we do. Hey, how's everything going? Fine. Baloney. It's not true. I don't know about you, but I'm not fine. I don't have a fine level. There's not a level of fine. Either I'm doing amazingly well, like, things are just, like, rocking, man. I'm on cruise control. It's like, dude, life is good right now. Or, man, I'm going through something. I don't just have fine. I don't understand what just fine is. It's either up here or it's down here. But so often, guys, you don't want to say that. You want to be able to hold all that stuff in. You don't want to look weak. Let me tell you something. Fine is weak. There's strength in opening your mouth. There's strength and being able to say, you know what, I need help in something right now. How many times, guys, when you hear somebody say, you know, I could really use some help, you think, the first thing you think is, what a weakling. No, But that's what we carry around, don't we? That's the pride that we carry around. Let me tell you something. That's a lie from the enemy. It's not the way that God created us to live life. That's not it. A friend is going to be there to help you. A friend is going to make you more productive. And the third thing is this. Friends will comfort you. Ecclesiastes 4:11. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Now, here's what I want you to know. I am not suggesting that we become communal living and get one big bed. That is not what I'm talking about right there. Like, hey, let's have some warm nights. And that's not what I'm saying right there at all right? That is not better life right there. But the reality is this, is that in Solomon's time, the cold weather was something that was much more difficult to deal with because they didn't have insulated houses and they didn't have heaters to be able to keep warm at night. And so if you were out tending to the sheep or doing whatever the case is, man, having somebody around you is very important because, man, the more bodies really were this, they would be able to keep you warm and they would comfort you. Do this. Take two pieces of coal, and you light those coals, and you make them hot. And if you separate one from the rest of the group, what's going to happen to that one piece of coal? It's going to get cold really quick. But you bring those things together, and they keep warm for a very long time. When you come together, that you will bring comfort to people. Why do we talk about coming to church? Why is it important for us to come to church? Is it because you have to come to church if you're a Christian? No. You don't have to come to church to be a Christian. But when you come to church, when you come together, there is something powerful that happens. There is this energy that comes together. There is a bonfire of holiness that comes together when you join with other believers, that you are going to bring comfort and you're going to bring energy and you're going to push somebody along in their faith and you're going to strive to be better than what you were yesterday. And that's what happens when we come together as a group of believers. It's so important for us to attend church. Do we have to? Absolutely not. We don't do it because of obligation. We do it because of celebration. Hebrews 10:24-25 say this. And this is so important that we get this. And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. That's so important. How can we help each other along? And 25 says this. Not giving up meeting together. Don't do it. Don't give up meeting together. As some are in habit of doing. How many of you guys have ever heard that? You know, I don't want to go to church because church is full of hypocrites. You know what? I go out into the wilderness, and I'm going to be on the mountains, and that's where I can speak to God, right? That's what happens as some inclined are doing. But encourage one another and do all the more as you see the day approaching. Are we living in the last times? I don't know. But it sure looks like we could. When we see what that day looks like, it sure looks like we could be in that time. So I don't know if it is or not, because no man knows the day or the hour, but it sure looks like he could be. Don't give up. Don't give up spurring one another toward good love, toward love and deeds, good deeds. I'm telling you, it is so important for us to come together because we are better together than we are alone. Don't give up coming to church. Don't give up those days. I'm telling you, it's so important. And when we do, when we begin to slide into that moment where we're not going to church, man, that's exactly where the enemy wants you to be. Do you think that he wants you to go to church? Is that the reality? No, it's not. Man, you're doing exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Don't go to church. Don't be around fellow Christians. Man, Christians, friends, bring us comfort. They spur us on to a holy bonfire of holiness that we get to be able to go towards God. I'm telling you, it's important for us to be able to do that. Friends make us more productive. Friends help us when we're in need. Friends bring us comfort. And the last thing is this. Friends keep us safe and secure. Friends keep us safe and secure. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Can I just say this? You are not as strong as you think you are. That's the reality. And let me say this one too. You're not as smart as you think you are either. Yeah. You're not as strong as you think you are, and you're not as smart as you think that you might be either. But it's so much better to come together. Because, man, when we're together, we don't have to be. Man, I tell our leadership this all the time. If I'm the smartest person in the room, we're doing something wrong. We don't need to be that way. Because we're so much better together than we are apart. And when we're alone all by ourselves, man, we need to have that strength. We need to have those people come beside us and build us up and strengthen us along the way. We are stronger together. There is strength in numbers. The reality is this, is that when we're talking about better, that Jesus wants to give you a better life. Now, did I say that Jesus wants to give you an easy life? No. Life is not easy. And it would be foolish for me to say that Jesus wants to give you an easy life. There's a huge difference between easy and better. Trials are going to come. You're going to face trials. You're going to face temptations. You're going to face difficulty in life. And you are so much better together. There is strength in numbers. Friends give you safety. Friends give you security. You will face them. And there are times where it's going to feel utterly lost. Utterly impossible for us to get through those moments unless we are with our friends. We are stronger together than we are apart. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Man, there is a battle going on around us. That's a reality, that there is a spiritual battle going on around us, and our fight is not against flesh and blood. So who do you need to be around? Who do you need to be around to give you strength? You need to be around fellow Christians. You need to be around people who want to build you up, who want to bring you more productivity, who want to bring you safety, who want to bring you security, who want to make you stronger, because our battle is happening. There's a battle going on for you and for me, and God wants you to be able to just love Him so much, and it's going to be so much easier when you're around Christians, when you're around friends, because you are better together than you are alone. Proverbs 27:17 says this, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." And there are strength in numbers. But together, we sharpen each other. We make each other stronger. We build each other up. And there is strength in numbers. Don't forsake gathering together. As so many are ought to do. Don't do it. It's important for us to be together, to live life together. There's a Jewish proverb that says this, "A man without friends is like a left hand without the right." A man without friends is like a man. That was loud, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Let that sink in for a second. Jewish proverb, boom. It's like a left hand without a right. It's so true. We are better together than we are alone. Ecclesiastes 4:12, "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves." Two can defend themselves. There's a reason why we say, "I got your back." Because you might not know those temptations that are coming behind you, but your friend can see it. Your friend can see what's happening in your life. They say, "I got your back. I'm with you in this. I'm taking care of you." But it says, "A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." A cord of three strands, like two are strong, but man, three are even stronger. And you want to know the three cords. Where strength really comes through in the relationships where we are better together than we are alone, man, where that really comes true for us is when we have a relationship with Jesus. When Jesus is the center of our life and Jesus is the center of all of our relationships, man, two are better than one, absolutely. But the reality is this, is that when Jesus is with us, man, that cord's not going to be broken. And that Jesus is going to be with you to carry you through those tough times, those spills and those slips, those trials that are going to come around. Matthew 18:20 says this. Jesus says, "For where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of you." You want to have a three chords to build you up, to strengthen you, and to have Jesus at the center of it all. And when you're together with fellow believers, the reality is this, is that Jesus is right there with you. And that is a strength that we don't understand. That is a strength that is going to be able to take care of those dark forces that are coming around us. Because reality is this, is that when you choose a life with Jesus, when you choose to say, yes, I want a better life, this is the reality, is that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in me than anything that else could ever stand up against us. Because Jesus is all powerful. Greater is he. His name overcomes. It is through his power and through his might that he overcomes all things. Nothing can defeat us when we give our lives to Jesus. That's a cord of three strands right there. There's strength in numbers. Simply choose a relationship that is important. Choose a relationship with Jesus. Don't forsake gathering together. That's what brings everything that we do around here together. Sunday morning church service, awesome, yes. But it also ties in those relationships with the dream team that you're serving, and you're building those relationships, because when those times come, and they will come, that you have somebody to go to. Don't call me when you need help moving. Call your community group, all right? They're going to love to be there for you because you've built a relationship and they care about you. And they care about you. That's why we talk about these things all the time. It's because you are better together than you are alone. And please stand with me. This is a memory verse that we have. Let's throw it up there one last time. We want to be able to get this. And you know what? We'll forget about the second half of it, man. Just remember the first one. You should be able to remember the first part of it. So after the comma, don't even worry about after the comma. Just remember the first part of it. And that's where we're going to stop. This morning it says this, Ecclesiastes 4:9. And say it with me. Two are better than one. Say it again. Two are better than one. Go ahead and take it off of there with your eyes closed this morning. Get that inside of your brain. Man, Jesus wants you to know this principle. He wants you to understand that you were created to be in relationship. Be in relationship with people because he wants to build you up. And so what's our memory verse? Ecclesiastes 4:9? Two are better than one. Have that sink in. Close your eyes. Let's pray today. God, I pray for relationships in this room. I pray that you will help us just continue to build relationships, not even just with our spouse, but God, specifically with friends around us, that you will help us build those relationships and that you will give us the strength to just go out of our way to build relationships where we don't necessarily feel it, but God, you will give us the strength and put people inside of our life that we know are going to help us along this way. God, I pray for relationships in this place. Build them up. It's the reality that you want for our life, and I pray it will just happen, Lord God. God, I pray for strength in this room, that you will give us strength. So where two or three are gathered, and there's so many more than that today, Lord Jesus. We know you're in our midst. I pray that you'll give us strength to be able to follow you. Give strength to somebody right now, Lord Jesus, who's feeling weak, and give them a relationship with somebody that they can talk to, Lord God. I pray for each of us, Lord Jesus, as we're facing decisions coming around. That each of us are facing decisions coming around in our life, Lord God. I pray that you will help us choose better. I pray that you'll help us follow your principles and follow your path, Lord God. I pray that you will help us choose better. God, we are a church that is focused on changed lives. And we are praying specifically for that. God, I pray that you will allow changed lives to happen inside of our life for individuals who've been following Jesus for their whole life, Lord God, that there's still so much more that they can learn. I pray that they will learn it. For somebody who just started following you, Lord God, I pray that their life will be changed, Lord God. pray that that will be the case. And God, specifically, we want to pray for Easter Sunday in this place. Let it be something that is powerful. Let it be something that is holy. Let us just give that day completely over to you, Lord God. Put people in our path who we know we should invite to the Easter Sunday service to hear your message, to hear your hope, and to hear your love. We pray these things in your powerful and your mighty name. Amen.